Green Day, they said 5 minutes. I've never had a 4 minute requirement.
He told me 5 minutes or less.
Okay.
So
all right, cool. Cool.
I'll talk to this man all night long.
Oh, you're entirely too kind.
You are the most handsome man at radio.
You are.
That's not saying much. But...
MMR celebrating our 50th anniversary, and we're having a little party here, barbecue, and a lot of fans have just gotten to meet their hero, Mr. Dave Grohl, who's with us now. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Welcome back to Philly.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Talk about barbecues. You love barbecuing. I think you went to the World Championship of Barbecues recently, and I read a story where for Christmas all you wanted was a special grill, and instead your wife gave you...
a toilet. There was, okay, so.
True.
Yes. So I've been, like, I've always cooked since I was, like, a teenager. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time on grills and backyards. And then I got really into barbecue and, like, slow cook and smoking barbecue, smoking meats. And so I'd been cooking on Big Green Eggs for a long time. But once you start cooking, like you'll get a grill and you're like, oh, this is big enough. And then all of a sudden it's not big enough anymore because you start inviting more people. Then you get a bigger one. You're like, this isn't big enough anymore. So I wound up getting this really awesome Meadow Creek cabinet smoker. It's like a BX50 or something like that. And it's, you know, it's like a big, there's a firebox on the bottom and then there's seven racks for your ribs or briskets or pork butts or whatever you want to do. And it's, so it's great. Like I could feed 100 people with this thing. It's amazing. So I'd been looking at it online thinking, oh, that's what I want. That's what I want. And for the months leading up to Christmas, I'm like showing it to my wife and I'm kind of hinting about like, this is kind of what I want to get and all this stuff. And so I just assumed that she would get me that. And then Christmas morning, she kept saying, wait till you see what I got you. Wait till you see what I got you. And I'm like, oh, she got me the grill. She got me the smoker. And the last gift, she goes, okay, here you go. And she hands me this envelope and I'm waiting to open it up and see like a picture of this thing. It's going to be delivered. And I open up the thing and it's a Japanese toilet. Like the kind that like washes your ass in a heated seat and it's got Wi-Fi or whatever. You know, it's like, it's the most, it's not real. It's not just a toilet. I mean, it's like the Tesla of toilets, you know?
Wow.
And so I'm looking at it and I'm like, thank you, I guess. And yeah. So the next morning, day after Christmas, I ordered that smoker myself. I'm like, I'm getting
it. Did the toilet ever come and get installed?
Yeah, it's in there now.
All right, just checking. You have Virginia roots, and it wasn't surprising to me when I heard in the last couple of years spottings of you in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And speaking of barbecues, have you ever had Thrasher's fries on the boardwalk?
Oh, of course.
The best fries, I think.
Well, you know, growing up in Northern Virginia, we actually used to go to Ocean City. When we were young. And then after high school, everyone would do beach week there and stuff like that. Rehoboth was like fancy to us when we were kids. We're like, ooh, that's, I mean, that was like kind of civilized. The boardwalk there is all nice. And down in Ocean City, it was like beer bongs and acid the whole time, you know? So, but then when I met my wife, her father is from Baltimore and she grew up going to Rehoboth Beach as a kid. And so we kind of bonded on that when we first met. And then we started going together. And once we started having kids, we would bring the kids every year because Funland, you know, down on the boardwalk it's the best place for kids, especially, you know, for their first amusement park experience, that's the place. And it's, you know, it's family owned and it's still that quaint little town, Rehoboth. And those fries, I mean.
Well, there's a story of a cover band was playing in some club. And you heard it, if this is accurate, and you went in and actually said congratulations to them and said you guys sounded great. Is that true?
Yeah, I remember. I think it was on Rehoboth Boulevard. Okay. I think it was on the big street. And I just poked my head and was like, God, you guys are good, man.
And they had to feel the love of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss. We haven't been in a couple years, but it's always been one of my favorite places for sure.
Very cool. I wanted to ask you about The Sky is a Neighborhood, because I love the fact that, if I understand correctly, you were laying on your back looking up at the sky with your daughter and just observed all these amazing formations, you know, and based on the name of the band and where you got it from, the idea that there are other worlds out there. But there are other, not just worlds, but neighborhoods, I think is very cool.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I was just reading something the other day that they've, that they're starting to realize that they've miscalculated the size of even just our galaxy. You know, they thought it was 100 light years or 150 light years wide. And now they're thinking maybe it's 200. And how little we really know about the universe, and that there's 100 billion galaxies. And in that, there's in the universe, there might be 200 billion. The numbers are, it's nuts. But I love Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think he's really cool. And he had this really great quote about how all of the ingredients to life have been scattered across the universe in stars forming and then imploding and spreading their enriched guts all over, giving the building blocks for life in all of these stars that you see as you lay in the grass in Hawaii, which is where I was. And the night sky in Hawaii is just, I mean, it's like a theater. You look up at these stars and you can see depth and dimension to it. And it's really heavy. And if you really believe in that kind of thing, that there's life somewhere else in the universe, you look around at all of these places and you imagine them to be areas where life could maybe exist. And if so, that we should coexist with it, you know, and then that the same atoms that make up the human body may be the same atoms that have been scattered across the universe. So who knows? And so in doing that, I looked up and I'm like, well, it really is kind of like a neighborhood if you think about it. And if so, then we should like keep it cool because we have our own little corner of it here. So we need to learn to like live together, not only just together as in we as people, but as a part of this huge universe, you know.
Awesome. I have to take you back, and I've asked you a number of times, and not in an annoying way, not in an attempt to be annoying, but during Wheels at the Sports Center here about three tours ago, I was there, and you were in the back of the house, and you go, Philly, if you sing this song loud enough with me, we'll come back and play the Electric Factory. And so I'm the only one who asked you about this, but so I have to bring it up again and wonder if that's a possibility.
One of these days.
But you do confirm that someday it will happen.
It will happen someday, and it will pick the hottest day of the year because everybody loves that place when it's 150 yeah. degrees inside. That's all I ever remember of that place.
But everybody loves a small show.
And everybody loves a small show where it feels like you're in a sauna.
Our station, WMMR, has just turned 50, and you've been at this for a long time, obviously. It's in this era of downloading and Spotify and Pandora and satellite radio and all this other stuff. We're live and local playing older and newer music. We've been with you guys for a long time, but what do you think about that when we're so excited that we're still not just alive, but thriving. And I'm curious what your take might be.
Well, I bet you that you're still alive and thriving for the same reasons that we are, which is just the love of music. Right. And so if that is your first and foremost intention and motivation and drive, then it carries you. So when we make records, you know, we still kind of consider ourselves like this little garage band. You know, we don't feel like the biggest band in the world. We definitely don't consider ourselves to be like a U2 or a Metallica or something like that. We really feel like kids that are playing in a garage. And so that keeps us young at heart. But we also really focus on making good songs, good records that'll translate when we come out and play them for people. And to me, that's kind of the most important part. Like when it comes to streaming or downloading or any stuff like that, I'm kind of old school. So part of it, I just don't even understand. But what I do understand is getting music to the people. So however you do that, I think it's...
But there's a difference when you do it live, when there's a person saying, hey, check this out.
Well, I think, you know, it's funny. I got a text. We played last night at Merriweather Post just outside of D.C. And in the audience was a guy I was in a band with when I was like 18 years old. And he said, he goes, man, I'm so proud of you. You guys have come so far. But most of all, I love that you're so raw. And I think what happens when you get up on stage and you do your thing live, like a raw rock band, you've got these kids in the audience, people that see that it's just a human being with hands on a piece of wood with strings. And it's kind of inspiring because it makes them feel like, well, maybe I could do that too. So that's the way I felt the first time I saw live music. When I was maybe 13 years old, I didn't see a big rock concert. I saw this punk band in Chicago. It was the first time I saw a band. And I mean, they were like, it was a punk rock band and they were three chords and a lot of noise and it was fast and it was raw and it was dirty. And it looked like so much fun. But not just that, I felt like, oh, I could do that. I know three chords. I know some kids in my neighborhood with instruments. So let's start a band. Let's do it. And I think, you know, as long as that's still alive or still there, you know, it just sort of like it makes for the next generation of musicians. And, you know, I was just outside saying hi to all the people at this meet and greet thing. And there's this kid there. He's probably like 8 or 9 years old. And he's a fan of the band, and he's trying to write the set list for me. And I'm like, we don't even know that song anymore. But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I bet you that kid, he's going to get a guitar in his hands or a pair of drumsticks. And if he's got that same fire for music that I had when I was his age, he's going to do the same damn thing. You know? So I honestly think, like, it just comes down to the heart. You look at someone like McCartney. I mean, he's... I don't know, 75 years old.
I saw him last year, and he played for 3 hours nonstop.
Exactly. He's got more energy than anyone I've ever met in my life. And I think it's because he's happy doing what he's doing. He loves making music, and he still makes music for the same reason he did when he was a kid before the Beatles were together. He just loves to play rock and roll.
Your pre-show rituals are fascinating. I read a couple Parliaments, one Budweiser, and a couple shots of Jaeger, but you have another name for it?
What, band prayer? That's what we call it. You know, some bands, before they go on, they're like, God, give me the strength to rock the house or whatever. And we just do shots of Jägermeister. That's what we call it, band prayer.
All right, we have to let you go. They're calling us. Could I trouble you to do a happy anniversary ID?
Hey, everybody, this is Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. I'd like to wish a happy 50th anniversary to WMMR. Keep it going.